Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick. He's the senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, what's your take on what's going on with crude right now? And then we're going to have a little discussion about crude in about 5 or 6 months from now.
Yeah, well, right now, you know, crude's holding up okay, considering we keep seeing one call for a recession after another. I mean, if you think that we're headed for recession, crude should be a lot lower than it is. And as you and I are talking, it's down like 2.3%. So I'm not saying that it goes in a straight line. But definitely anything above 80 is quite bullish for me, especially when, you know, the major oil companies, it costs them around 40 bucks a barrel to pull things out of the ground. That's why their profits are so enormous. Mm-hmm. So they can endure lower oil prices. I don't think they'll have to. But right now we are seeing crude oil go down, and we're seeing crude stocks give things back. Even oil companies have had great earnings, like Marathon, symbol MRO in the U.S. It had excellent earnings, but it's down like 3%, or was when I looked at it earlier. We don't own that one, but, you know, that's just the kind of thing where you look at it and go, that's weird. It just makes me think that money's looking to rotate elsewhere. I'm not sure exactly where, though I do have a couple things that I'm putting my subscribers into.
Now, I saw one of your little articles saying the oil futures for next spring, some people are betting it's going to be $200 a barrel.
Yeah, well, those are cheap. I mean, so I think people are just buying lottery tickets, but you can see it happen, right? I mean, if the situation with Russia isn't resolved, and if whatever financial slowdown we're going through tends to work out by then, they keep saying we're having a financial slowdown. And yes, we're seeing a slowdown in car sales. We're seeing a slowdown in real estate. That's about it. Everything else is really ripping along. I mean, we had supply chain issues, but most of those seem to be straightened out by now. So I think people are saying, you know what, things definitely don't have to be bad. So we are seeing bets that, and I'm sorry that my talk is like such a jumble, but on Thursday, the most actively traded Brent crude options contract, that's an international oil benchmark, on Thursday, the most popular crude oil option was to buy Brent at $200 in March of 2023. So some traders are more bullish than the broad market is. That's for definitely sure. Are they right? I don't know. I am bullish on oil, though, even though we recently took oil gains, and I kind of kick myself every time I do, but it's just a smart thing to do, you know? Take a series of gains. You can always buy it later on a pullback. And maybe we'll get that pullback now, which suits me fine. I'd love to buy them cheaper.
What's going on with precious metals?
Very nice. On Friday, we saw precious metals take off, kind of a 1-2 thing. First, we saw two local Fed presidents, local. I say that one's from Chicago, the other one's from the Boston, which are two of the big major cities, right? But they came out and said, you know what, maybe we don't need to raise rates so fast. Now, you'll remember just on Wednesday, Fed Chair Powell said, you know, we are nowhere near the end of rate hikes. It seems some of the Fed presidents disagree with them. The market took that as an indication that the end to the dollar hikes is sooner than what Powell was speaking about. Are they correct? I don't know. I can tell you this, that I would bet you that many of the Fed presidents are kind of miffed at the way things have gone with inflation and all that, because some of them warned that, you know what, we need to hike sooner than later, and like Powell said, no, no, no. So maybe they're trying to separate themselves from the train wreck that he is causing these like rate hikes that are really stressing out the auto market, the housing market, and more. So maybe that's it, or else maybe, you know, maybe they aren't just trying to make themselves look better. Maybe they are actually planning an end to rate hikes sooner than later. That's the way the market took it. The other thing that pushed up gold prices was that we heard rumors out of China from people who should know, people who are involved in the whole COVID fight over there, that China was going to ease its COVID crackdowns and allow more movement and freedom to travel and like stuff like that. And I don't know if you looked at the gold sales for the most recent quarter that came up from the World Gold Council, but with everything that was going on, jewelry sales around the world soared something like 17%. Imagine what would happen if China loosens its COVID crackdown. Could they have the same kind of consumer explosion that we saw here in the U.S.? And there's a lot more Chinese than there are Americans. So I think the gold market seized on that. So we had a good Friday in gold due to what's going on with the U.S. dollar and the rumors about China. And we saw a good Monday. And so the big moves, part of it is short covering. I'm absolutely sure of that. But it looks like a bullish setup on many charts. The chart for gold itself, the chart for the GDX, the chart for individual gold miners. So, you know, I just recommended a gold streamer to my subscribers today, and I'll probably be doing a lot more of that if this thing plays out the way that we think it's going to. I've been expecting gold to rally anyway, just because there's a two-year cycle in play, and we had reached the bottom of that two-year cycle, which is about the time last month when you heard that absolutely everybody was sick of gold. Well, you know, that was at the bottom of the cycle. We should see gold and gold miners go higher from here for cyclical reasons. The only reason it hasn't is because of the shenanigans that the central banks are pulling. So if the central banks are going to back off a little bit, if China's going to back off on its COVID restrictions, it could be a great quarter for gold coming up.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, how are things doing for the energy metals, the battery metals?
Well, I just gave a presentation on it to a Weiss conference at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach. Pretty well received, I have to say. We just saw the price of lithium carbonate in China hit a new record. That was on Monday. And it's not just lithium. It's copper, it's nickel, it's a bunch of stuff that we are seeing real supply-demand squeezes. And in copper and nickel, yes, of course, they aren't primarily energy metals. But since prices are made on the edges, the energy demand for those is, you know, really starting to help stoke the price.
What's happening on the marijuana front? Oh, stay with the battery metals there if you've got more.
I was just saying that I have a list of 5 lithium juniors that I think could do extraordinarily well this next year, and so I'm starting to give those to my subscribers. We just took 294% gains on one stock. Turning around, we'll be putting that money into others. There's a lot of potential in the energy metals. I think people shouldn't ignore that. That's all.
On the cannabis front, anything happening there?
Yeah. I mean, in the U.S. anyway, stocks tumbled after the midterm election news for various reasons. But one thing that didn't tumble was cannabis. Might be because Well, let's see. There were five cannabis referendums in various states. Only two of them passed, but they were the two biggest states. So I think people are looking at that, looking at the fact that Schumer says he can have a deal with the Republicans on cannabis banking, looking at President Biden saying that he wants cannabis rescheduled, and people are thinking cannabis is going to have a heck of a year. So, the fact that the Republicans do not seem to have won the Senate, that's still up in the air, by the way. I mean, control of both houses is up in the air, because it's going to take a long time to actually sort this out. But because the Republicans did not win the Senate, Democrats are perceived as more cannabis friendly. So I think that's one more reason that we could be seeing cannabis stocks go higher. Anyway, we got four cannabis multi-state operators in our portfolio. Three of them are in positive territory. Not a lot, but, you know, they're doing okay. It really looks like we've seen the bottom in the cannabis stocks.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
This market's so confused by the election. I mean, because pollster after pollster said there was going to be a red wave, and there wasn't. So now the market's trying to figure out what to do. One thing I would keep my eye on, since I'm talking politics here, is that it's very likely we're going to have a serious showdown over the over raising the ceiling on the debt limit in the U.S., because the Democrats would love to make Biden look bad, and when he comes hat in hand asking to raise the debt ceiling, they will likely say no. And so we'll see how that showdown shakes out. That could weigh on the U.S. dollar, for example. Sometimes it helps the dollar, sometimes it hurts it, because it helps it because investors think, well, they're going to be spending less money, so that puts the dollar up. But if it affects the credit rating of the U.S., and we've seen a debt ceiling limit do that in the past, if it affects the credit rating of the U.S., that's bad for the dollar. So could be a wild time. I would keep an eye on what goes on in Congress with the debt ceiling and see how that affects the dollar, because that could have all sorts of implications. Other than that, you know, I mean, things seem to be going pretty well for us. I don't have any major complaints. We're taking one gain after another. I assume other people are. Even in a bear market, you can find things that are doing well. Oil has eased off for a while, but nothing goes up in a straight line. We'll be back making more gains there sooner than most people think. So I feel pretty good about this market.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.